Limelight by Anya Barnes. Read by Found by John Doe. Summary. Ilya Razanov is the best damn rookie the NHL has ever seen. Shane Hollander, captain of the Metros and three-time Stanley Cup winner with over 700 career goals, not that Ilya is counting, thank you very much, just wants to help him celebrate. Author's notes. Puppy Ilya Razanov, save me! Puppy Ilya, save me! Takes place in 2021. Ilya plays for Boston, Shane plays for Montreal, everything else is functionally the same. But it doesn't matter, you aren't here for the timeline. Nor hockey accuracy, sorry. Give me some grace there, and in return you get a cocky Ilya falling apart the second Mr. Hollander gets him alone. Capiche? Give love to the most beautiful art ever by Athena, linked. Enjoy, freaks. Ilya isn't cocky. 3 years ago, he was playing for the Loko Yaroslav with a guaranteed spot on the Lokomotiv KHL roster, hoisting the fucking Kharlamov Cup above his head. The photo of that memory sits on his bedside table next to his World Juniors gold. As if that wasn't enough, as if that hadn't inflated his ego far past where it deserved to be, he was the first draft pick of the season, third youngest to debut ever, thank you very much. Playing center for the Raiders. And, as of 33 minutes ago, a cherry on top of his overflowing sundae, he is the second youngest rookie of the year. Maybe Ilya is a little cocky. He knows it's an impressive repertoire to carry. He's heard the way the other rookies on his team talk about him, how Varkov praises him when he thinks Ilya's left the locker room. Kucherov told him he's on the shortlist for the Kharlamov trophy. When he wins, he'll be the youngest recipient ever. Ilya tries not to keep track, but it's a little hard when the sports news alerts on his phone keep reminding him. There's a handful of podcasts he's listened to for years, and it seems now they can't go an episode without saying his name, talking about him. Though, and it's a menial complaint, they keep pronouncing his name wrong. Ilya Razanov. Every time he opens Instagram, there's some ugly new graphic, his name bolded behind a mid-game photo, celebrating some record he's broken. He can't help but peacock a little. Connors ordered him something fancy at the bar in a little crystalline glass, and it's far more expensive than what Ilya typically drinks. It tastes like how he imagines motor oil to taste. But he won't complain. It's not like he can order himself something else. Not for a lack of trying, but the big sharpied X on his hand was a dead giveaway. It's getting to his head awfully quick, and he knows he's being ostentatious. But he's Rookie of the Year, and all of these people are here to celebrate him. So who gives a fuck if he's a little too cocksure right now? Razanov! Marlowe grabs his bicep and pulls the younger man into a small circle. Ilya recognizes Eric Bennett, goaltender for the Admirals, though not a great one in Ilya's opinion, but the other two are strangers. Or maybe Ilya was introduced to them earlier in the evening, but he's met enough people that faces are beginning to blur. There he is! Kid's fucking insane, one of the men says. Could be the next Hunter. Ilya doesn't mean to pull a face at that, but he does.
No,
Ilya says.
I will be better.
Marlowe jeers, crapping a hand over Ilya's shoulder. Bennett snorts next to him. Ilya's not really sure what's so funny. Hunter is a strong player now, but 2 years ago that would have been an insulting comparison.
You should see him at practice,
Marlowe says. Ilya preens under the attention. None of them are really talking to him, but it's still a little heady to be at the center of a conversation, of the party, of the room.
I wouldn't be surprised if we're watching another Hollander. They're already talking about giving him the A.
Now there's a compliment. It's the first of the night that he's not entirely sure he deserves. And he is skilled and talented, far more than most of the other players in this room. But Shane Hollander is Shane Hollander. He has over a decade and a half of experience over Ilya. The older boys at the rink used to set up these shitty pirated game reruns after practice. Ilya spent his afternoons watching Hollander debut, watching his meteoric rise to fame, watching him win his first cup. Shane Hollander is hockey. Shane Hollander is why Ilya plays hockey.
Shit, Roz, Bennett praises.
Well, I would prefer C, but I guess A will do.
Ilya takes a sip, hiding his smile behind his glass.
For now.
Marlowe laughs again, far too loud, and turns to the second unknown man, who has yet to speak a word. Pruitt, maybe? Ilya knows they've been introduced. Whoever he is, he's clearly a defenseman. Marlowe asks some small, polite question about Pruitt's, or was it Price's, partner. Ilya takes the opportunity to excuse himself. He turns back to the bar, keeping his head low as he weaves through the crowd. It's the first time all night that he's had a chance to breathe. No one is grabbing at him, dragging him into conversations with players twice his age, half his skill set. He knows he needs to slow down and conserve his energy. There will inevitably be a bar after this, maybe a club or two that the guys try to sneak him into. Ilya would be lucky if he's home by 5, though he's not really complaining. And he'll admit, it feels good, really good, to have so many eyes on him. What's another few hours of celebration? Another one of those? The bartender nods towards Ilya's empty glass.
No, please.
Ilya shakes his head.
Just a Coke.
He swallows whatever is left in his glass, exchanging it for the soda. Ilya leans back against the bar top, taking inventory of the crowd. He keeps waiting for the other shoe to drop. He keeps waiting to jolt awake and find himself in Moscow, alarm blaring for his morning practice. But there is no other shoe. It's surreal. He's not in his childhood bedroom, surrounded by posters of the league's best players. Instead, he is one. Photos in hockey news and on ESPN websites and the sports columns that he taught himself English for. Ilya gets to be the center of attention. He's the most desirable player in this room. He takes a sip of his drink. The fizz tickles his nose. People continue to filter into the ballroom, women in glitzy dresses and men in boring suits. It's getting harder to parse who is here from the hockey world and who is joining because this is the place to be. He can pick Hunter out, hand around the waist of a younger man, and Marlowe, still chatting with that defenseman. There's a few people he should make his way over to and introduce himself to. The CFO of Nike is chatting animatedly with some man. Commissioner Kroll is on the other side of the room, mingling at the other bar. The VP of ESPN, or maybe it's Fox Sports, is around somewhere. Ilya should network, but it feels good to make people come up to him, seek him out first. Speaking of which, the CFO shakes the other man's hand, waving him off. The other man turns, but Ilya can't make out any distinguishing features. He's clearly a hockey player, broad and built, but the light in the room is low. He parts to the crowd approaching the bar and... fucking... Shane Hollander. The man smiles, loose, and sticks out his hand. The world around Ilya pauses, funnels down to Shane Hollander, captain of the Metros, 3-time Stanley Cup winner, over 700 career goals, hottest man in the NHL, and, as of 2 months ago, recipient of the Conn Smythe Trophy. He's bigger than the posters and magazine covers make him out to be. Not that Ilya's keeping track, or that he has any of those posters or magazine covers, especially not the one that was released 4 months ago. A limited edition with Vanity Fair, featuring a very revealing photo spread. Shane Hollander shirtless, in loose gym shorts, stepping out of a bathtub. Or the one where he's doing hip openers, triceps flexed, or the one where he's hanging off a set of gymnastics rings. Ilya takes his hand, hoping the immediate clamminess isn't too obvious, and squeezes tight, firm. The skin of Mr. Hollander's hand is rough. Hollander's eyes crinkle as he takes Ilya in, dragging his eyes up and over and around. Ilya finally lets go, hand dropping to smooth out a non-existent wrinkle. Maybe he should have taken the suit in a little more, gone with something a little more tailored. Maybe a nice wool Brioni? Not that he owns Brioni. Or even got his suit tailored to begin with, he bought it off a rack with Marlowe at a department store. And it's nice, but Idia suddenly feels awfully insecure, awfully young, standing in front of Mr. Hollander. Mr. Hollander, in his Brunello Cucinelli two-piece. A deep blue flannel, complemented by a bright red silk lining. The fabric sculpts to his waist, making his broad shoulders seem impossibly larger. The sleeves fall just at his wrist. Beautiful hands framed by the deep wool and a stunning glasudo dress watch. Idia is staring. And he has been for far longer than socially acceptable. Mr. Hollander is looking up at him, eyes sparkling with amusement.
Mr. Hollander,
Idia swallows. His eyes flit across Mr. Hollander's face.
It is a pleasure to meet you, sir.
Pleasure is an understatement, but he can't parse through English definitions fast enough to find a better word. Congratulations. Mr. Hollander holds up his glass and nods towards Idia. No one deserves it more than you, kid. Your work ethic. Mr. Hollander shakes his head, eyebrows raised, and lets out a low whistle. You're hungry. It's impressive. Idia ducks his head, tries to wave away the compliment.
It is nothing.
Idia fiddles with his glass. 66 points in your first season isn't nothing.
You had 68,
Idia blurts out. Mr. Hollander barks out a laugh. And you're the fastest teenager to 50 points, Mr. Hollander shoots back. Idia's head jolts back up. He blinks, eyebrows furrowed, because Shane Hollander pulled out his stats immediately. Not even one of the records Idia had broken. Mr. Hollander was third, fourth now, to 50 points. It took him 35 games. It took Idia 30. Idia can't help but laugh, short and chuffing. But who's counting?
I am,
Idia admits. Mr. Hollander shifts against the bar top, biceps flexing in the fabric of his suit. Idia indulges himself, allows his eyes to linger a little longer than they should. Mr. Hollander is a few inches shorter than Idia, but he's got bulk. Years of size built up. It makes Idia feel small.
I know I should not care, but it is hard not to.
I don't think anyone else in this room understands that better than I do, Idia. Idia's name rolls off his tongue. Idia. Idia shifts a bit, leans in closer. He wants to hear it again, hear the way Mr. Hollander's mouth shapes the syllables. I'll admit, I wasn't sure Boston was going to be able to properly handle you. Selfishly, I wish we had gotten you. Idia hums, hiding his smile behind his glass.
You can still have me, never say never. But maybe that would not be fair to the other teams, Idia teases.
He must imagine it, surely, but Mr. Hollander's eyes flit down Idia's body, lingering on his hips. Idia unbuttons his suit jacket, letting it fall open around his waist. Mr. Hollander watches.
Besides, it is fun to play you. I think it was 3 games this season?
Yes, Mr. Hollander confirms. Not that Idia needed it. It was 3 games. Montreal won twice. Mr. Hollander scored 6 goals across the games, with a hat trick in the first. He'd also checked Idia in the second game, a moment that Idia has mentally replayed again and again and again. And physically, he's visited the YouTube video so many times that his phone now recommends it to him every night, and he's nothing if not easily swayed, tapping back in with a hand down his pants.
Fun is a good word. Challenging, even.
Oh.
The word slips out of Idia. Challenging. The word sits in his chest. Tumbles around his brain. He ducks his head, unable to hide the small smile on his lips.
Challenging.
Idia's fishing a little. Mr. Hollander gives him a look, eyebrows quirked, and takes a long sip of his drink. Idia lets his eyes linger on the space where his lips meet the glass. Challenging. You're a good player.
every player in this room fucking hates you, Mr. Hollander admits. But they all wish you were on their team. You're aggressive and confident and smart. That's a hell of a combo, kid. Idia doesn't bother hiding a smile this time. He leans in closer and sets his drink next to Mr. Hollander's. Their hands graze. Idia makes no attempt to move. When he looks up, Mr. Hollander is staring at Idia.
Yeah? Idia licks his bottom lip.
Your wrist shot is shit, though. Mr. Hollander shifts on his hip. Idia mirrors him, tilting to face inwards. Your snap, your backhand, fuck, even your slap, they're great. You're cocky with the puck, but you also need to be precise. Idia hums. He lets his finger trail up the side of the glass, catching a drop of condensation. The move happens to rub his knuckles against the back of Mr. Hollander's hand.
You know, maybe I need someone to help me, sir.
Idia pitches his tone low, knowing Mr. Hollander will have to lean closer to hear him over the roar of the crowd. The air in between them grows a little thicker, a little closer. Maybe you do.
It would be nice to get some one-on-one,
Idia shrugs.
With someone who really knows how to handle a stick.
Idia takes a sip of his soda. A drip catches on the side of his mouth, and he catches it with his tongue, holding Mr. Hollander's gaze. Mr. Hollander's jaw clenches. Not many people who could help you, Mr. Hollander says. Idia shifts on his legs, pressing his hips forward ever so slightly. They're nearly standing thigh to thigh. You're better than half the players here. It would take a special skill set. Idia's never noticed Mr. Hollander's freckles. They dot his face, up on his nose and under his eyes. They're beautiful. He's beautiful. Idia wants to reach up, touch his freckles, drag a finger over his nose and cheeks and down his jaw and up to his lips, lean in and...
Rosanov!
Mr. Hollander jolts back as Marlowe claps Idia's shoulder so hard his teeth chatter. Idia mourns the loss of contact the second it's gone, the phantom of Mr. Hollander's hand lingering against his own. Marlowe shoves another drink into Idia's hand, bright and pink. It smells like vodka, but when Idia takes a sip, all he can taste is syrup.
Rosanov and Hollander.
Marlowe, Mr. Hollander greets. I was just introducing myself to Rosanov. You have a hell of a player here.
He's a stud. Rosanov, come on. You gotta meet Kral. He's been asking about you all night.
Marlowe digs his fingers into Idia's shoulders, slowly pulling him away from Mr. Hollander. For the first time, Idia feels out of his depth. Mr. Hollander takes another sip of his drink, making no indication that he plans to move with them. It was nice to meet you, kid. Mr. Hollander nods. Marlowe starts pulling him more insistently, surely wrinkling his suit.
You too, sir.
Idia calls over his shoulder. Marlowe saying something in his ear, prepping him to meet the commissioner. Idia can't bring himself to care. He can still feel Mr. Hollander's hand against his. He takes a small sip from his drink. There's a thrum, a constant buzz under his skin and on his lips. It's not just from the alcohol. Idia slips his jacket off. The room is much warmer than it was prior. Marlowe drags him into a small circle. Idia sticks his hand out, Kral shakes it first, then Hunter's partner, Kip, he learns. Marlowe introduces Idia, talks him up a bit. Idia laughs when appropriate, chimes in when needed, and asks the right questions of Kral. He doesn't supply anything else. He can't. Idia's mind wanders. So do his eyes. He can't help but look over, can't help but to find where Mr. Hollander is standing in the crowd. A beautiful woman stands next to him, hand on Mr. Hollander's bicep. Idia's eyes linger. Mr. Hollander abandoned his suit jacket at some point in the last 20 minutes, revealing a crisp white shirt that's painted on. His pants are no better, tight around his thighs and ass. Idia takes a deep breath, adjusting the suit jacket in his arms.
Take a photo, Roz, Marlowe says,
Ilya snapped back into the conversation, swallowing tightly. He takes a sip. His throat is awfully dry.
What? I said take a photo. It'll last longer.
Marlow nods his head over to Mr. Hollander. Ilya can't help but sneak another look. The woman isn't touching Mr. Hollander anymore, and Ilya is weirdly relieved. His eyes flit back as he consciously reminds himself not to stare. Hunter and Kip exchange a look, a nonverbal conversation happening around Ilya. He's a nice guy, Kip says. Hunter gives Kip another look.
Yes,
Ilya responds plainly. He doesn't have anything else to add. Mr. Hollander is nice. Nice to talk to. Nice to watch play. Nice to look at, his mind supplies, which he doesn't disagree with.
Kid's got a case of hero worship,
Marlow laughs. Ilya doesn't.
It's good to have someone to look up to, Hunter says.
Ilya's grateful for the defense.
I lost my mind the first time I met Wagner. Best center the Penguins had. What, in 1904?
Ilya shoots back.
Hey.
Scott throws up his hands in mock offense. Marlow shoves Ilya, barking out another laugh. Ilya chuckles too, more so grateful that the attention is off him. Him and Shane Hollander. Than anything else. Ilya sneaks another glance over at Mr. Hollander. Mr. Hollander's already looking at him. There's no subtlety. Mr. Hollander brings his glass up to his lips, taking a long, slow sip. He holds Ilya's gaze the entire time. Want slams itself into Ilya so hard he worries he may stumble. He wants Mr. Hollander to come back over, wants Mr. Hollander to keep talking to him, telling him how good he is. He's greedy. The entire room is here for him, here to celebrate him. He wants more. Ilya wants Mr. Hollander. Alone. He can't help the flare of jealousy that rears its head when the beautiful woman laughs, hand draping across Mr. Hollander's arm. Jealousy doubles, triples, expands in multitudes Ilya can't even understand when Mr. Hollander laughs back, eyes crinkling as he leans into the woman's touch. Ilya excuses himself from the conversation, too abrupt to be polite. He abandons his drink on the bar top. The buzz under his skin, in his head, only grows as he thinks about Mr. Hollander. He doesn't need whatever Marlow has given him. Ilya ducks through the crowd, finding his way to the bathroom. Only once the stall is locked behind him can Ilya finally breathe. He feels like a live wire, sparkling with the thought of Mr. Hollander. He can't return back to the party and watch Mr. Hollander. Ilya wants so intensely that it must blur into need. The line in the sand long blurred. Time slips away in the bathroom stall. Ilya leans against the wall, trying to calm himself down. He can't. Every time he closes his eyes, every time he tries to still his mind, his thoughts inevitably trail back to Mr. Hollander. It's as if Mr. Hollander is holding a leash, directing a magnet, dragging Ilya back to him. It's out of his control. He's not sure he wants it any other way. Ilya takes his time washing his hands. He doesn't want to be here anymore. He doesn't want to go to another club or bar or venue where the bouncer conveniently forgets to check his ID. He doesn't want Marlow to drag him into some strip club. He wants to go home and pull up that video of Mr. Hollander checking him into the boards and relieve whatever is thrumming in the base of his spine. He's worked up, and the more he thinks about it, the sooner it will become everyone's problem. The stall door behind him opens and shuts. Ilya startles. Mr. Hollander joins the sink next to him. Ilya continues running his hands under water, watching it swirl down the drain, looking anywhere except at Mr. Hollander's hands, big and strong and calloused. He tries not to think about those hands around his waist, around his neck, in his mouth. He tries not to think about pinning those hands down, about how they would scratch against his back. So much for not getting himself worked up. Ilya glances up, meeting Mr. Hollander's eyes in the mirror. Ilya finally shuts the water off, placing his hands on either side of the sink.
Sir.
Ilya's voice cracks. Don't. Mr. Hollander turns the water off. He places his palms on the countertop, leaning against the sink.
Sir, please.
We shouldn't.
Please, Mr. Hollander.
Do you even know what you're asking for? Mr. Hollander turns abruptly, crowding him against the bathroom wall. Or are you just begging to beg?
I am asking for you,
Idia whispers. Mr. Hollander's cheeks are flushed a pretty red, high at their apples.
I want you.
You shouldn't.
Do not tell me what I should and should not want.
Do not talk back to me, Mr. Hollander orders. He reaches a hand up to Idia's nape and threads it through his curls, pulling. Idia swallows hard, the column of his neck exposed. He has half the mind to not start begging, pleading for Mr. Hollander to mark him up and bruise him pretty, right where everyone can see.
Please, sir.
Idia gazes down at him through heavy eyelids.
Please.
Are you sure you want this?
I do not think I have ever wanted anything more, Mr. Hollander.
Mr. Hollander closes his eyes and takes a deep breath. The warm air tickles Idia's collarbones. The muscles at the side of Mr. Hollander's jaw clench and release over and over again. Idia counts to 30 before Mr. Hollander finally opens his eyes again.
Here's what's going to happen, Idia.
Mr. Hollander takes Idia's chin between his fingers, forcing them to make eye contact. You are going to leave this bathroom first. You are going to be good and mingle for another 20 minutes. If, after that, you still want this, you are going to find me in the coat room adjacent to the bar.
Yes, sir,
Idia whispers. Good boy. Mr. Hollander pulls away from the wall, releasing Idia's head. He whines as Mr. Hollander detangles his fingers from Idia's hair. You need to adjust yourself before you return to the party. Idia blushes, shoving a hand down his pants to try and tuck his dick. Mr. Hollander quirks an amused eyebrow at him. I'll be in the coat room.
I will find you.
Idia tries to smooth out his curls as he leaves the bathroom. Not even 5 steps out, and Connors is pulling him towards a group of rookies, all visibly drunk and fawning over Idia. The attention is too much now. It scratches at the back of his brain, all wrong. He doesn't want to be in this room, around these people. He checks his watch. 17 minutes to go. What proceeds must go down in history as the longest 20 minutes. He imagines the time physically dragging, the hands of his Longines slugging through honey. Idia regrets abandoning his glass. He wants something, anything, to do with his hands. There's too much energy in his body. He's too high-strung, and it has nowhere to go. He's growing increasingly irritated with every poor joke the rookies make. Marlowe keeps touching him, grabbing onto Idia every time he laughs. It's not funny. Right now, nothing is funny. He checks his watch again. 12 minutes. Idia aches. The physical throb of his cock is mirrored by something in his gut. He doesn't want to wait here any longer, making pointless small talk while Mr. Hollander waits for him. Idia glances over towards the coat room, not more than 20 meters away. 20 strides, 15 if he pushes it, between him and Mr. Hollander. He could turn, leave this conversation, and be pressed against Mr. Hollander in seconds. But Idia waits. Idia waits because Mr. Hollander told him to. There's no other option. He has to be good. It's as though the command has wrapped itself around his very being, strung itself along his nerves. There's no option to disobey. He's good. He listens. 3 minutes. Idia's a dog, and Mr. Hollander has said the word treat. He's vibrating out of his own skin, stumbling and circling around an all-too-composed Mr. Hollander. Idia fidgets and shifts and squirms, ignoring the company around him. He doesn't know what to do with himself, with his body. He squeezes his thighs together, too crudely, too publicly. It doesn't matter. Surely the want, the desire, is written so plainly on his face that anyone can tell. The minute hand barely graces 12 by the time Idia's moving. He He doesn't bother excusing himself from the conversation. Fuck, he needs to find Mr. Hollander. He needs Mr. Hollander. Idya stumbles into the coat room, tripping over his own feet. It's a small space, an oversized closet with a large floor-to-wall wooden divider in the middle. The front section is overflowing with jackets and suits. Idya can't see into the second section from the doorway. Mr. Hollander leans against the wall, watching Idya with an eyebrow quirked. Idya opens his mouth. He promptly closes it. Mr. Hollander shifts, crossing his legs. His pants bunch, visibly folding around his cock. Idya swallows, tight and dry. He wants to say something, but he can't find the right words, the right thoughts, to cut through the tension.
Idya? Mr. Hollander?
Neither of them make any attempt to move. Mr. Hollander drags his gaze up Idya's body, past his thighs, past his throbbing cock, up his chest and neck, before resting them on Idya's face. Idya shifts on his feet, squeezing his thighs together.
Please.
You don't even know what you're asking for.
You? Please? Anything, sir? I am asking for anything,
Idya begs.
Please. I want you. Whatever you will give me, I need.
You need to tell me what you actually want, puppy, Mr. Hollander teases. You can't just beg.
Oh,
Idya whines. Come here, Mr. Hollander beckons. Idya's feet move before he registers the command. Mr. Hollander tucks a hand around Idya's waist, pulling him into the obscured back room. It's nearly empty. A few pairs of heels are scattered around, and there's a lone bench tucked into the corner. Good boy.
Yes, that. I want that,
Idya says. Mr. Hollander maneuvers Idya against the wall, crowding, surrounding him. He's so broad, white shirt stretched so tight over his shoulders, around his chest. There's nowhere Idya can go to escape him, nowhere Idya can move. It's him and Mr. Hollander. His world narrows. Idya whines again, high and loud.
I want to be good for you, sir.
Thank you, Idya. Mr. Hollander pulls Idya's head down, cups a hand around his jaw. He pulls Idya into a gentle kiss, mouth hot and wet. Idya melts, fisting the front of Mr. Hollander's dress shirt. The buzz in his head returns, heady and loud. He whines into Mr. Hollander's mouth. Everything is so soft. His lips, the fabric of his shirt, the noises that Idya can't help but let slip into the kiss. The 20 minutes was worth it. More than worth it. Idya would have waited hours, days for this. Mr. Hollander's attention is on him, no one else. Mr. Hollander pets along his cheekbone, rough calluses scratching against Idya's jaw. The feeling consumes him. Mr. Hollander consumes him, in lips and body and mind and spirit. Idya deepens the kiss, swiping his tongue along the bottom of Mr. Hollander's lips. Mr. Hollander threads a hand through Idya's curls, tilting his head. Idya lets him, acquiescent. He'd let Mr. Hollander do anything, he thinks. Idya's dick throbs against his zipper. His lips buzz against Mr. Hollander's. The ache in his groin builds, a hot flame licking up his spine. He whines. Idya's a lighter, spark wheel finally catching and igniting. He can't help but moan into Mr. Hollander's mouth against his lips. Idya paws uselessly at Mr. Hollander anywhere he can reach. Idya flounders, suave bravado gone, victim to Mr. Hollander, his lips, his hands, his presence.
Please.
Idya begs against Mr. Hollander's mouth. He clutches weakly at Mr. Hollander's biceps, feeling the muscles shift and flex under his hands. Fuck. Mr. Hollander's voice is raw. Idya's hips stutter forward, catching on Mr. Hollander's thigh. A ragged moan tears through his body, so loud that it must reach through the coat room into the bar and party. The pressure is delicious, white hot behind his eyelids. He needs more. I'm not going to let you fuck me tonight, puppy. Idya whines, opening his mouth to protest. Mr. Hollander holds up a single finger, eyebrow quirked. Idya shuts his mouth. I know, Mr. Hollander coos. Heat races up Ilya's face. He swallows tight and dry. You can't go home with me. People are going to be looking for you after the party, Ilya. You don't want them to start wondering, do you?
No,
Ilya mumbles. He's lying. He wouldn't mind if people wondered where Mr. Hollander is taking him, why the two of them are leaving so abruptly, alone. Ilya's hips twitch forward again. It feels so good. The combination of his suit pants, Mr. Hollander's firm thigh, and the fact that Ilya is so fucking hard that he can feel it in his fucking teeth. He can't help it. He can't stop. I know, Mr. Hollander repeats, drawing out each syllable. Ilya moans, an aborted sound that catches in his throat. Mr. Hollander shushes him, raising an eyebrow as though Ilya is a petulant child. Ilya bites the inside of his mouth so hard that it stings. You need to be quiet, Ilya. Mr. Hollander's hands come down and grip his hips, thumbs running along his hip bones. His hands are so big, wrapping, encompassing Ilya's slender hips. He just holds, surely feeling how every muscle in Ilya's body responds to his touch, his presence, twitching and fluttering entirely out of Ilya's control. It's not enough. Ilya's greedy, sinfully so. His own thighs quiver against Mr. Hollander, strong and stable, as arousal floods through him, overflowing. Too much, not enough. Ilya tucks his head into the side of Mr. Hollander's neck, mouthing wetly. The flame in his gut licks even higher, melts him like wax over the side of a candle, dripping, pooling on the floor. If it weren't for Mr. Hollander, his strong hands, how he crowds Ilya against the wall, Ilya would surely be nothing more than a puddle on the coat room floor. Ilya allows himself to indulge. He winds into Mr. Hollander's skin. His hips twitch forward again more deliberately. Mr. Hollander's thigh is so firm under his dick, so well worked. He's had years on Ilya to train, to work up every minute muscle in his body, sculpt himself to peak performance. Mr. Hollander's quad flexes and unflexes between Ilya's thighs, under Ilya's dick. Ilya shudders, pleasure racking his body so fast that his vision goes blurry. Ilya can't help himself. Just make yourself feel good, puppy. Take what you need, Mr. Hollander whispers, breath ghosting Ilya's ear. Mr. Hollander brings his hands up to Ilya's biceps, releasing his hips. Ilya sobs. The floodgates open. He needs something to hump against, anything to relieve the pressure building up and up and up through his core and spine and around his brain. He's helpless to stop himself, as though Mr. Hollander's approval has overridden his remaining self-control. It's not about what he wants. It's about what Mr. Hollander will let him have. There's a good boy listening so well. Oh. Mr. Hollander drags the words out, slow and controlled. Ilya whines and presses himself tighter into Mr. Hollander, against his broad chest. He pants, open and hot-mouthed, into Mr. Hollander's nice dress shirt, hips thrusting an uneven rhythm against his firm thigh. The friction feels so good as Ilya rubs himself all over Mr. Hollander. He can't help it.
I'm not going to tell you again, Ilya.
Mr. Hollander's lips brush Ilya's ear, voice low and gravelly. He digs his fingers into Ilya's biceps. Ilya's face, still tucked into the corner of Mr. Hollander's neck, burns. Surely Mr. Hollander can feel it, can feel how flushed he is, how affected he is.
You need to be quiet.
Sorry,
Ilya whimpers into Mr. Hollander's skin. Mr. Hollander's pulse flutters against his lips, fast and irregular. Ilya grinds forward again, dick catching on the fold of Mr. Hollander's own erection. Mr. Hollander sucks in a breath, sharp and pointed.
I'm sorry, sir.
You can't let anyone hear you, puppy, Mr. Hollander whispers. He brings a hand down to Ilya's hips, helps drag him along Mr. Hollander's thigh. Mr. Hollander's fingers dig into the meat of his ass. Ilya has to bite his lip to keep from keening. He'll surely be bruised through the weekend, maybe even into midweek if he's lucky.
The boys will razz him in the locker room, asking him who the lucky lady is. You don't want anyone to come investigating, do you?
No.
Idya whimpers pathetically.
No. Wouldn't be good, Mr. Hollander. Promise.
Mr. Hollander has the gall to laugh, short and sharp. The sound zips through Idya, molten hot and overwhelming.
Yeah,
Mr. Hollander coos. Idya nods, stupid off pleasure, off the presence of Mr. Hollander, off how all-consuming his thigh is against Idya's dick.
I know it feels good. You just can't let everyone out there know. They'd come looking for you, and I don't want to share you with them. Not like this.
Idya mouths against Mr. Hollander's neck, tongue laving over his pulse point. He's so close. Everything feels so good. Humiliation prickles at the back of his neck, taunting him. Idya Rozanov, because he's going to come in his pants just from grinding against Shane fucking Hollander. Idya whines, a string of drool trailing down his lip and onto Mr. Hollander's collar. He can't stop rubbing, grinding up against Mr. Hollander. It feels so silly. So good.
You have the hotel keys, right? The man's voice startles Idya upright.
He stills his hips, shooting a concerned look at Mr. Hollander. Mr. Hollander grins back at him, all teeth.
Yeah,
another man responds. The voices are familiar, but Idya can't pull himself together enough to place them. His abs clench, hips twitching forward. The lack of pressure aches, gnawing at the base of his spine. They're in my coat pocket.
I didn't say stop,
Mr. Hollander mouths. The hand on Idya's hip urges him forward, back down into Mr. Hollander. Idya holds his breath. Something will slip. Give them away if he doesn't. Mr. Hollander holds his gaze, eyes dark. Keep going. Idya stills for another second. His eyes flicker uselessly between Mr. Hollander and the floor. As fun as it is to wonder what would happen if they got caught, it would have career-lasting implications for both of them. Mr. Hollander reaches a finger up to smooth out the worry between Idya's brow, gaze softening. It's okay, Mr. Hollander mouths. He pets a finger along the side of Idya's face. Trust me, puppy. And Idya does. Idya trusts him far too easily. It's almost naive, so childish, but something in his body tells him to listen. He trusts that Mr. Hollander will take care of him. Even if they are caught, Mr. Hollander will know what to do. He's so smart, so thoughtful. Idya can't help but trust him. But keep going. Keep rubbing along his thigh. Ultimately, Idya listens because there's no other option. Yes, Mr. Hollander, I'll keep going. I trust you. I'll keep humping you in this coat room, our co-workers and peers just 4 feet away. Yes, Mr. Hollander, whatever you want, Mr. Hollander.
Did you see the way Rozanov was looking at Hollander?
Fuck. Idya freezes again. Co-workers and peers is an understatement. That's Scott Hunter.
Holy shit, yeah. I thought I was the only one.
And that must be Kip. The corner of Mr. Hollander's mouth curls up. Keep going, Mr. Hollander mouths. Mr. Hollander digs his fingers into Idya's ass, dragging him, forcing him forward. It feels so good that Idya could choke on it, bubbling up his throat. It feels so good that surely this will fry his nerves, ruin him for anyone else. He's a puppet, useless to resist Mr. Hollander's menstruations.
Hero worship my ass, someone snorts.
Idya grinds deeper, harder on Mr. Hollander's thigh.
I'd put good money on the odds that Rozanov has a poster of Hollander somewhere in his bedroom. Wonder if he's jerked off to it.
Like you and that fucking Wagner poster?
They're finally taking coat hangers off the rack, fabric rustling. Idya shoves his face back into Mr. Hollander's neck, mouthing wetly at the exposed skin. Mr. Hollander urges him forward again. Idya's dick catching on a fold of fabric. Fuck. He can't. Idya can't keep quiet.
Not with Mr. Hollander holding him, forcing him forward again and again and again.
Keep talking shit about it, and I'm putting one up in our bedroom.
Idya gasps, short and sweet. Mr. Hollander threads a hand through his curls and forces Idya's face closer, nose pressed so tightly against his neck that it hurts.
Kinky. Oh, fuck you.
The fabric rustling gets louder, closer. Idya's heart skips a beat, drops to the pit of his stomach, because what if? What if Scott and Kip come around the corner? There's nowhere for them to hide. Idya's trapped, pinned down by Mr. Hollander's hands and thigh and body. Or what if they have seen the whole thing? What if they know already? Idya can't see into the main section. He can't see the doorway. He has no way to know if they're right there watching. But he trusts. He trusts Mr. Hollander, trusts the hands on his hips that keep guiding him forward. Fuck. Isn't that heady?
If you're lucky, sure.
The rustling stops, and heavy footsteps trail out of the room. A whine slips out of Idya, high and needy. Mr. Hollander doesn't bother shushing him, just continues to drag Idya's hips along his thigh. The rhythm is so rough, carving away at Idya, at his very being. Idya shakes against Mr. Hollander, whining and mumbling and moaning. The noises slip out of him, lips too loose to control himself. It's so much. It's not enough. Idya wants to stay here forever, trapped under Mr. Hollander, against his thigh. The press of the fabric of the other man's body against his dick is all-consuming, so deliciously lighting up his brain and body. He feels it through his fingers, down his spine.
Sir, I'm not going to last, Idya warns.
He prays the words come out in English, prays the part of his brain that translates is still online. Idya can't stop rubbing, grinding himself down on Mr. Hollander's thigh. He's lost any rhythm, any control. All he wants is to feel good. Stop humping, Mr. Hollander hisses into Idya's ear. Idya's hips stutter. If it weren't for Mr. Hollander's hand, now forcing his hips back, still, Idya wouldn't be able to control himself. He tucks his head into Mr. Hollander's collar and whines.
Please, sir, please.
Idya begs. He feels like a fool begging for nothing, something, anything. He wants to keep humping against Mr. Hollander's thigh. He wants to come. He wants to be loud and whiny and perhaps most shamefully, blushing as he even processes the thought. He wants everyone here to know how affected he is. He wants everyone to know that he, Idya fucking Razanov, rookie of the year, has Mr. Hollander's undivided attention to himself. You are not going to come on my pants, Mr. Hollander says simply. Idya blinks up at him. Mr. Hollander takes the younger man's chin in between his fingers. I am not explaining some lewd stain to my tailor nor my dry cleaner.
Oh,
Idya says. The words come out a little vacant. Idya can't help it. It makes so much sense. Of course Mr. Hollander doesn't want Idya's cum stains, and he has to drag the words out, dumb it down a little, to get them into Idya's head. Mr. Hollander pulls Idya's head back, hand still tangled in his curls. It stings. The pain is delicious. Mr. Hollander leans back, releasing Idya's body against the cool wood divider. Idya whines at the loss of contact, the loss of Mr. Hollander's body surrounding him. He wants to beg, wants to plead Mr. Hollander to come back, to keep pressing into him, to never leave him again. He can't find the words, can't swim through the honey filling his head, can't get his mouth to shape around the English syllables. He makes quick work of pulling Idya out. Idya whines at the cold air, at the friction of Mr. Hollander's calloused hand against his dick, at being touched for the first time in the night. Mr. Hollander holds a hand up under Idya's chin. Spit. Idya listens, obeys, follows the command. Yes, sir. I'll spit, sir. Whatever you want, sir. Whatever I can give you, sir. Good boy. Mr. Hollander wraps his hand around Ilya, tight. The pace is immediately punishing, too much. Ilya paws at Mr. Hollander's shoulders, biting his lip to keep from whining, from sobbing. It's a Herculean feat, staying quiet. Quieter than any of the games he's played or goals he's scored. Fuck, puppy. Mr. Hollander's hand quickens around Ilya's dick. Do you even know how to use all this? Mr. Hollander thumbs under his slit, bringing his hand up to trace along Ilya's jaw. Ilya whines, useless and stupid. He does, he wants to say. He knows how to use it.
Yes, yes, sir.
Ilya pants. He can't fuck. Mr. Hollander's hand feels so good, wrapped around him, squeezing him. Every muscle in Ilya's body clenches and releases without consent, succumbing to Mr. Hollander.
I would be so good for you, I promise. Please, sir, please.
I know, Mr. Hollander coos. Ilya sobs.
Please, Mr. Hollander.
Ilya moans, cutting off his own words. Pathetically, he realizes Mr. Hollander is right. He doesn't know what he's begging for. Please, Mr. Hollander, keep jerking me off. Please let me fuck you. Let me make you come. Please, please, please. The pressure at the base of his spine is building so fast, pleasure entwining around each vertebrae, climbing his spine and wrapping around the base of his brain. It feels like all he knows, all he's ever known. So all-encompassing, all-consuming. His cup runneth over, his pot boiling too high, water flooding the sides and burning off on the stovetop. He's limp, useless against Mr. Hollander, in his hands. Sobs tumble out of him, noises falling from his lips so fast he can't discern where one starts and where the other begins. It's pathetic. He's pathetic. Mr. Hollander's hand wrapped around his cock, losing it in a hotel coat room. There's nowhere Ilya would rather be. This coat room is heaven, hell, where Mr. Hollander has pulled him apart and put him back together. His body sings. The pleasure erodes at him, crashing over his edges and wearing him down until he's nothing, soft and smooth in Mr. Hollander's hands. His orgasm shouldn't take him by surprise, but it does. Ilya wails, far too loud, too obvious, fisting Mr. Hollander's button up. Every muscle in his body vibrates, clenches, releases as he comes, falls apart into Mr. Hollander's hand. White hot, his orgasm erupts behind his eyes, through his fingers, burning him up from the inside. Surely Mr. Hollander can feel how utterly consumed he is, how the air between them blazes. This is his peak, in pleasure and mind and body and being. Trapped against the wall, against Mr. Hollander's body. Ilya doesn't know how long he stays there, leaning against Mr. Hollander. His heart slams into his chest, mirroring Mr. Hollander's under Ilya's hand. Ilya consciously reminds himself to let go, fingers unclenching Mr. Hollander's shirt one by one. He whines at the loss as if he wasn't the one to let go. Mr. Hollander shushes him, petting a hand up and down Ilya's side. Mr. Hollander takes an exaggerated breath in, holding Ilya's eyes. Ilya mirrors him, in and out and in and out. He comes back to himself slowly, the buzz in his brain weakens. Ilya lets himself linger, lets the feelings drip through his body, content to stay in Mr. Hollander's arms for as long as he'll allow. Lick, puppy. Mr. Hollander's voice is soft as he holds his cum-covered hand in front of Ilya's mouth.
Huh?
You need to clean up your mess, Mr. Hollander says plainly. Lick. And Ilya listens because there's no other option. There's no world in which he doesn't listen to Mr. Hollander, follow his commands. He scrunches his nose at the taste of his own cum, bitter and slightly sweet. He sucks Mr. Hollander's fingers into his mouth, licks them clean. Mr. Hollander watches him through lidded eyes, jaw clenched.
Good boy.
Ilya preens. Mr. Hollander pulls his fingers out of Ilya's mouth slowly, wiping the spit on his pant leg. He tucks Ilya back into his pants, hands gentle, and then reaches down to adjust himself. Mr. Hollander threads his fingers through Idya's curls, softly playing with his hair. Idya hums. His skin buzzes with the contact, the hand in his hair almost as pleasurable as when it was wrapped around his cock. Idya would be content to stay here forever, he thinks. We can't do that, puppy, Mr. Hollander mutters softly. Oh, Idya didn't realize he had said that out loud. Idya makes a small noise, discontent. You're okay.
Was I good?
Idya doesn't mean his voice to sound so soft. So good, Idya, Mr. Hollander continues petting through his hair. But we can't stay here. I can't take you home. Marlo will come looking for you at some point. I think there's an after party you're expected at.
I do not want to, he whines.
Idya cringes at how petulant he sounds.
It's not fun.
I have a hard time believing that Idya Rozanov thinks an after party hosted in his favor is no fun, Mr. Hollander teases. Idya ducks his head. There's a part of his brain that admits it does sound fun. There's a larger part that doesn't want to leave this warm afterglow, that wants to trail after Mr. Hollander back to his hotel room. You have to be good for me, Papi, even if you don't want to go.
Okay,
Idya agrees. It's almost alarming how fast his mind changes. If going to this after party and the inevitable club and bar after the after party means he'll be good for Mr. Hollander, he'll do it. Mr. Hollander untangles his hand from Idya's hair and pulls away slowly. Good, Mr. Hollander praises. He disappears around the corner of the divider, rustling through the coats. He comes back, his own suit jacket in his hand. Idya doesn't try to hide his gaze as Mr. Hollander slips it on, collared shirt tight around his biceps and chest and shoulders. I'll leave the coat room first. I have an early flight anyways, and I need to say goodbyes. I want you to wait here for a few minutes, then leave. You're going to go to the bar and get yourself a glass of water, okay?
Yes, sir.
I don't think I'll see you before I go, Mr. Hollander says carefully. He reaches a hand for Idya, squeezes his bicep. But we'll be playing again before you know it.
Okay.
Idya tries to not sound disappointed.
I will. Will I see you then?
He's not asking about hockey. Oh, puppy. Mr. Hollander smiles, squeezing Idya's arm again. Of course. Mr. Hollander reaches out and smooths a wrinkle on Idya's chest. It's futile. Idya is sure that he looks a mess, shirt rumpled and hair sticking up. Be a good boy for me, okay?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hollander turns to leave, hesitating for a second. He whips around, pulling Idya's face in for one final kiss, sweet and tender. Idya melts, chasing Mr. Hollander's lips as they pull apart. Mr. Hollander turns the corner, dress shoes clicking out the door of the coat room. Idya listens and waits. He doesn't bother checking the time, letting the warmth of Mr. Hollander's lips buzz through his body. If he concentrates hard enough, Idya can still feel the hand on his bicep. He's so warm all over, honey dripping through his body. Idya throws on his suit jacket before he leaves, abandoned in the front of the coat room. He prays that it will hide some of the wrinkling, the way his suit pants don't quite sit correctly. Another part of him, one that he tries not to listen to, prays that it will be obvious to anyone who sees him, prays that someone will put the pieces together and know. When he leaves the coat room, no one looks at him. He tries not to be disappointed. Idya finds his way to the bar, pushing through the crowd. The party doesn't seem to be slowing, though he recognizes far fewer people. He approaches the bar, waves down the bartender, and gets his glass of water. Idya drinks the entire thing, sipping slowly. Good boy. Idya knows that eventually He'll have to find Marlowe and explain to him where he's been. There's probably some lie he can throw together about a model, or maybe a cigarette break, or maybe a phone call that he just had to take. Whatever. That's later Idya's problem. He sets the empty glass down on the bar top and shoves his hands into his pockets. Idya's hand fumbles with something. There's a small folded napkin, one he must have shoved away earlier in the night. Idya pulls it out of his pocket, leaning back to the trash can, and nearly throws it out. Black ink catches his eye, neat handwriting scrawled atop the napkin. "For when you need me, papi. S.H." Below is Mr. Hollander's personal number. Idya folds it back up and tucks it into his pocket. Author's notes. It is very important to me that you know the mentioned magazine photo set is ripped straight from Sebastian Stan's men's health issue. Edit to add. I do plan a part two, I promise. You can subscribe to the series/my account to get notified, though there are a few works in progress that take priority at the moment. Thank you guys for your kindness and support and patience. I'm on Twitter. Come talk to me at Anya Barnes. Come talk to me on Tumblr. Link. Smiley emoticon, I'm not insanely active, but ask/DMs are always open to scream about Holonov or rex/prompts. Comments and kudos appreciated. This is me whenever you guys say anything nice, low-key. Image.
Really, really stretched out, Shane Hollander smiling.
Reader's notes. Well, guys, here it is. Part one in the Idya Rozanov Top Dog series. I do, in fact, plan on doing every single one of these for however many that the great Anya Barnes decides to do. Currently, I believe there are 3 or 4 in there right now. Let me actually click the link and tell you with utmost certainty that there are 4. Wow. Awesome. There are 4 right now, and they're all fucking awesome, and I'm very, very excited to read all of them for y'all. Especially, like, the latest one, the gala one, gala, if you're from a certain part of the United States. I love them all so much. I love the series, and I am so, so thankful to Anya Barnes for the permission to pod these. I initially asked as a part of a voice team thing. I was, like, trying to make it work for this, like, challenge we had in voice team earlier this year, where it was like pod something where one of the main characters is over the age of, I believe it was 40, or either 40 or over the age of 40. And I think, like, Anya Barnes is like, oh, I don't know if I've like set the exact age for Shane, but I think he'd be about this age, and it wasn't over 40. And I was like, oh, I could make it work, it's like close enough. But then I was like, no, I'm going to have integrity and not do that and do some other thing or whatever. But I really, really, really love this series. I adore this series. Me and my friend are fucking obsessed with it. So we have like a shorthand, this friend and I, where I always send her
like, fix. We have very similar taste in what we like in, like, the Holonov dynamics. And so I will send her fix and she'll send me them. But every time I send her anything, she's already fucking read it. And it started as, like, the Caleb Heron bit where he says, like, there's not a picture of Jacob Elordi that's never crossed my desk. So I would, like, send her something and she'd go, there's not a picture of Jacob Elordi that hasn't crossed my desk. And I'd be like, fuck, shit, she's already read it. And eventually it became, like, synonymous with, like, if does the fic have Elordi in it, right? And that would be, like, what we're looking for. Like, is the fic Elordi? Is the fic Jacob Elordi? Does it have Jacob in it? Sometimes it only has an L. Sometimes it only has, like, an Ordi. Sometimes it has the full Elordi. But this absolutely has the full Jacob Elordi, which pretty much just means sub Ilya Rozanov. Which you can imagine that when Anya Barnes went and created the subtop Ilya week, we lost our fucking shit. So also thank you to this author for that. Please go leave Anya Barnes kudos and comments and tell them how fucking good this fic is, because it is so good. I get so much joy out of rereading it. I get so much joy putting it in my mouth. And you guys, if you got joy listening to it, you should fucking tell her. The greatest of all time, legal title, The Lesbian Pervert. Ugh, obsessed. Fucking obsessed. Peace and love.